to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, September 18th, 2014. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo.
Yo, yo. And so we've got exciting show today.
Exciting.
Yes, yes, as
we're
always.
So excited. We're tingling.
Well, you're tingling.
I could be tingling.
It's just you.
It could be.
Yeah.
Speaking of tingling, I mean, or maybe a tinkle, like my son today did something that I guess he hadn't done before. Uh-huh. He just went and just pulled out his diaper and just took a whiz. Not
excellent.
In the toilet.
No, just in the middle of the room.
Not in the middle of the room. He was in his closet on top of toys and other stuff.
I'm sure you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was just one of those things. I saw him that he pulled it pulled down his diaper, but I was like getting his pajamas ready and stuff, and I was gonna go, well, I better pull that up before an accident happens. Just as I'm about to approach to grab him, just a nice big,
you know, I don't remember Alex ever doing that.
Well, there you go. Well, that's an experience.
There were plenty of accidents, don't get me wrong, and they're, you know, in the pre potty training era,
right.
there were of course accidents. There were of course occasionally things that happened without a diaper on, but I don't remember him like just taking it off and going.
Oh no, yeah, just took it off and go.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
It's a development.
To be honest,
it looked like he was imitating. Right.
Look, he's seen me when I pulled down my pants to go to
the office. Of course. That's
exactly what it looked like. He was just imitating
See, that's the first step. You pull it down, you figure that out. The next stage is show him where the right place to do it is.
Right. Exactly.
What this is indicating is he's ready to start thinking about that stuff.
I realized that today as I saw this happen. So there you go.
So it's a positive thing.
It is a positive thing. Look, I was laughing. Okay, yeah. All right. I got to be honest. It was not like, I was not pissed. I was the first said no! And then I realized it happened. I just couldn't help but laugh. It was just, I'm like, God.
So anyway, what we have on the agenda today, in no particular order, we have a little bit of an update on the watch. Oh, as I bang a microphone, last time around, Yvonne had some things, and then anyway, there have been reactions and further information in the week.
Yes.
I'm of course talking about the Apple Watch. Also on the Apple theme, one thing we didn't even mention at all in last week's show, I don't think, was Apple giving away this free U2 album.
I guess because we didn't think it was that big a deal. I mean, I did download it as soon as I got it because I like U2.
We'll talk about this, but a lot of people are pissed about it. I'm not like up in arms, but I wasn't thrilled with it either. But anyway, we'll get to that. We are going to talk about the Senate because it's been a little while since we've talked about the 2014 Senate races. I noted a little article on head transplants, so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. But we're going to start it all out with failing electronics because I just wanted to bitch a little bit because I've had a string of failing electronics here.
What have you had failing?
So here's what's happened recently. So now let's see, where should I start? So I guess in chronological order, first I've got one of these wireless keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, I've got the 5-year-old. Alex popped off one of the keys a number of months ago, and in a way that I couldn't get it back on, because you know sometimes when they come off, you can be carefully put it back on and
let's say that's not wasn't failing. Somebody attacked it.
Okay, I'll grant you that.
I mean, it just failed. Normal use.
So I had a replacement on my wish list, and my dad gave me a new keyboard, so that's cool. I mean, it wasn't like one of the critical.
And by the way, I guess it is happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It was Tuesday earlier this week. Yeah.
Fuck. What? Well, shit. Well, I can't even remember my fucking birthday. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much, Yvonne. But anyway, so it wasn't a critical key. It was like the key to adjust the brightness on the screen, right?
So it's not that bad.
It's not like it's the E or something.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been, yes.
But, but it was still like, so anyway, so my dad got me a new one, which is cool. But I have been, and it'll be interesting because it seems like the batteries haven't been lasting as long as they used to. So it'll be interesting to see that. But you're right. Somebody destroyed that. Here's another one that is somewhat somebody destroying. I got a, for Christmas, I think it was for Christmas. Yeah, for Christmas, I got a, or maybe it was Father's Day. I don't know. Sometime, I got a new camera. And I recently, a few weeks ago, went on a brief day trip to Canada with my mom. And I was taking a bunch of pictures. And at one point, I'm taking pictures out the window of her car. And she goes over a big bump.
Oh, boy.
And it hits the bottom of the camera. And it was like, oh, okay, nothing looked like it was damaged. It seemed like it was fine. I took a bunch more pictures. And then I went inside somewhere. And it turns out, and I'm not 100% sure that this happened at that exact moment, but I'm like 90% sure. There's no longer a way to turn off the flash.
Oh.
So like, well, if it's on auto mode, it'll only flash when it thinks it needs it. But
but you can't manually turn it off.
Right. So if it thinks it needs it and you don't want it, there's no way to stop it.
Oh, that sucks.
In fact, like, it's got one of these that folds down, so you can fold it down, and it'll still flash with it closed.
Yeah, it'll pop back up.
Well, it won't pop back up. This one doesn't pop up and down on its own, but it'll flash inside the enclosure, and that's not good for it because it gets too hot and it, all kinds of things. So anyway, so we're sending it in to get it fixed, and it was a number of weeks ago. We haven't sent it in yet because I kept wanting to still take some pictures, and so I kept it for my son's birthday, which was last week. Anyway, so that's item number two, and okay, I will take blame for both of those two items. The rest of the ones I'm going to mention, I don't think I have a direct blame for. One is, I'm incredibly, to use a nicer word for it, fastidious about backups. So like next to my computer here, I've got online backups going to Backblaze, but I've also got four backup drives right now. To the left of my computer right now. So my computer itself has an internal drive and an external drive that I use. I use the external drive for excess storage because it can't all fit on the internal drive in my iMac. So I've got those two, and then each one of those, I have a Time Machine backup and a Daily Snapshot backup. So I've got all kinds of backups going on.
Okay.
So the Time Machine drive that I use for my main drive died a few days ago. Now, what's interesting about this is that because
this one, you didn't drop it, you didn't spill water on it, just failed. Checking.
Like, it won't even turn on. Like, it's not like it did one of these things where it slowly failed.
No,
like,
I've had that happen with a backup drive, so, it happens.
The power supply or something is gone. I can't even turn the damn thing on. No power light, no nothing. Which actually means, like, in an emergency, the data might actually be fine if I had to get it recovered or something. But what's interesting is because, I've had to replace backup drives before. A couple years ago, I started, when I name the drive, I name it with a name that includes the date that I activated the drive. Okay?
Okay.
So this one lasted exactly 1 year and 2 days.
That's pretty shitty.
That is pretty shitty.
I mean, that's really crappy. I mean, it's no good.
Yeah, so
is it still under warranty?
I bet you it had a 1 year warranty.
I'm going to know. Actually, hard drives typically come with longer.
Maybe. But, it's a pain in the fucking ass, and it's a...
No, you just got to freaking call them up and get them to send you a new one. I mean, what the hell?
I know, maybe.
It's a hell of a lot, you know.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it just in case it's still within warranty. I'll check all of that out and I'll do the due diligence. Or
I mean, get a free one. I mean, or, what the heck? For God's sakes. I mean,
more,
you know?
More accurately, I'll have my wife do the due diligence because I suck.
Yeah, she's good at that. Yeah,
yeah, she's good at that. Yeah. Like she's the one returning my camera to get it fixed.
There you go.
But I'll have her check out the hard drive too. But I probably won't wait. I'm going to try a couple more times to start.
Well, even if you get,
but you know, I will probably order a replacement drive before then too. Because right. Also,
you get another free one. It was a backup.
Yeah, there you go. It was a 3 terabyte drive. I'll probably replace it with a 4 terabyte drive. You know, but yeah, and hey, if they can replace it under warranty as well, hey, like you said, extra drive.
Extra drive. It can't hurt.
Yeah, because right now I'm also, you know, I mentioned I have the two drives. One of the two drives is over 90% right now, and over the last couple of days, I've been struggling to find stuff to delete or compress or whatever, and you know, if I had a third drive, I could just, there you go, there's a third drive with stuff. Of course, then I'd have to get another 2 backup drives for that third drive.
Backup? Okay, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. And, you know, and it's just the 1 year and 2 days thing just really pissed me off. It's like, this is why I added the dates on these things, because I noticed they were going pretty quickly. Now, I recognize, you know, a backup drive that's going all the time, it's doing stuff all the time, it is under heavy load, but still, come on.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, and I understand it's going 24/7. It's doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know what I have to look into at some point what exactly Time Machine is doing on my drive, because it's always backing up way more stuff than I think it really needs to. Like, you know, every few hours it's backing up a few gig, you know, and it's like, really, did I change that much? I wasn't even home, you know, and I know I have a bunch of automated stuff going on my system, but I think what it actually is, and I know I'm going on too long about this, but Time Machine doesn't actually know on a file by file basis if it's changed. It knows on a directory basis. So if you've got a...
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
So
okay.
If you've got a big directory with lots and lots of files in it, and one of them changes, it rebacks up the entire directory.
Well, you know, look, check your backups. Look, I it's always important. You don't want it to happen. Like, I know that with hard drives, it's a lot better. I used to do a lot of backups 20 plus years ago using tape. Okay,
I remember doing it with floppies when I was backing up a hard drive with 100 floppies.
Look, I did do them with floppies first. Let me just say that the first backups I ever did, I did with 8.5-inch floppies.
Yep.
Okay, all right. I had, back then, higher capacity. That was great because we're talking 1983. An 8.5-inch floppy back then could hold 1.2 megabytes. Actually, mm-hmm. Pretty damn good. Okay, considering that a 5.25 held like 360 or something like that. So just pretty, pretty. You know, that's pretty good. So I had those 8.5 inches. I you know, more than once, believe me, that first time happened. All of a sudden, I thought I used to do only one backup. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the backup once on the floppies, and guess what? The backup failed. And I had no backup. And I'm like, crap. From then on, I started doing 2 backups, okay, every time, okay? I said, screw this. I can't, you know, I can't count on this. Of course, with floppies, it was very painful. You had to swap. You had to be sitting there, wait for each floppy to go, pull the floppy out, put another one in. Hey, you know, pain in my ass. But then I had the problem with tape. Tape was worse. I'll tell you what, even less reliable. I went back, I don't know how many times, I had 7 tapes. I used to do daily backups, and I would keep a whole week of backups. Now, nobody told me, and I only found this out years later, the reality is, well, I found out at that time, the tapes only lasted not that very long.
Right.
They wore out very quickly. Well, I kept doing the fucking backups of those damn tapes. I went one day to restore 7 tapes for the 7 past days, all blank. Nothing. Not one thing. I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, okay? that's another thing they tell you, you know, on backups, always check the restore.
Oh, my God.
You know, and I admit I'm not like super great on that. I mean, I have a number of things to monitor to make sure the backups have happening, but I only have actually had to pull stuff from the backup, maybe once every 6 months or something. So it's not a frequent event. Anyway, to finish off my list real quick, I have one of these trackpad things for my iMac as well.
Oh, shit. Mine is almost dead because my son threw it to the ground a few times.
Well, I don't know exactly what happened here, but just in the last few days, because otherwise I would have had this on my wish list instead of a keyboard, because I can do without a brightness key. But it's sticking. So, like, when I click the mouse...
Yeah, nothing happens.
That, well,
yeah.
No. It will click, but it thinks I'm clicking and holding. Even when trying to tap, you know?
That blows.
And that's really... So, like, I just clicked on a window on my screen, and now it's moving it all around the screen and stuff.
That's been happening to me, too, on mine. Yeah.
Thinking I have to replace this sucker, too, sooner rather than later. But then the final thing, and this, I swear... has absolutely nothing to do with anything that might have been in the news about Apple in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
My phone has been starting to spontaneously freeze and reboot.
Aha! Aha!
I didn't do anything to it, I swear.
Well, yeah. We had a conversation today. You know, there was I was at a conference today held by a couple of it was actually at Microsoft today at a conference. Okay, yeah. Or held by a couple of other vendors and stuff. There was a guy from one vendor there, and he was saying that years ago they were making him travel, and they gave him one of these 7 or 8 pound laptops. Okay, all right. He was traveling all the time, and he said, "Dude, look, I can't travel this damn thing. I need an ultralight." Well, we could give you an ultralight. The problem is that your laptop is only 1 year old. And we will only replace it if it's broken. Well, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, he said, well, I did a backup and then I proceeded to have a massive accident with a damn thing. Okay, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's just been like in the last 48 hours, but it's like it's frozen up and locked up on me several times. A couple of times I've gone to like turn it on, or I've pulled it from my pocket to look at it, and it's just a black screen and won't respond to anything. And I'm like, I know it was at like 50% battery or whatever, and I'll force restart it and it'll be fine. And a couple of times I've been in the middle of doing something and then all of a sudden it's rebooting and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's
a likely story. Well, anyway. Yeah,
speaking of backups, the other thing is I accidentally like deleted something on my iPad.
Yeah.
And now I realize I've got it backed up, but the way that Apple does the stupid backups, you have to restore the whole damn thing.
Yes, you do. That is correct.
And so
you can't just restore. I mean, unless it's like you lost. Well, I mean, what is it that you lost? It was data. It wasn't like an app or something or whatever.
It was data for an app in the way it was.
Data for an app. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, and a couple other little things. I just wanted to. I changed some things around, and I wanted to make a record of how it was before I changed it around, but I forgot. So anyway, I've been like, and so what I did is I realized that I had an online backup through iCloud that was before I did the stuff I did. So I turned off the backup to iCloud so that the backup in iCloud is going to be the one I want. And then I did a tethered backup to my computer so that what I could do here at this point is restore to the iCloud backup, get the stuff I want, make sure I save it in some other way, and then restore back to the version on my computer. But then, and I did this weekend, and then I'm like, oh my God, that whole process is going to take me like an entire afternoon. And so I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Well,
and I've been going back and forth on, do I just say, screw it, never mind. I mean, this stuff isn't really that important. It's more of a sentimental value than it's not like pictures or anything, but it's like, do I really bother doing this or not? And I've been going back and forth. Yeah. So, but because it's going to be a pain in the ass, but on the other hand, I want the stuff.
It is a pain in my neck.
And it just makes makes me think this is another area, and this is not something that, as far as I know, Apple has added in iOS 8 or anything like that. But God damn it, if you're going to have a backup system, and I mean, these guys built Time Machine, for God's sake. Give me Time Machine for my iPad.
That would be, but yeah, I see what you're saying. That, I mean, you know, if you want to restore, say, passwords or this or data for this, you know, so you can pick and choose in a certain way. Of course, they don't let you see that entire file system.
Or even just, I mean, or even just like I rearranged all my apps and I decide I want to go back to how
go they back were to before. That setting. Yep, yep.
You know, even stuff like so. Anyway, feature request. Anyway, we'll be back. It's time to take a break. Enough of me babbling about all my technology failing me. I'm sure something else has failed too, or if it hasn't, it will in a few moments. But we'll be back, and we'll talk about one of the other topics. Sorry to bore you all with that, but I've been frustrated. All my stuff is failing.
He's frustrated.
All my stuff is failing.
Frustrated.
And of course, failed. This is after all the damn appliances failing over the last few months too.
That's what I was going to say. That you know, you had the appliances.
Although the dishwasher revived itself. The dishwasher had failed. We thought we were going to have to replace that too, whereas we really wanted to wait till next year to replace it. And it failed. It wasn't working. And then it just started working again. So,
well, there you go. Well, so, good news for that.
Good news for that. Anyway, back after this.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby. Let's do the
twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, The Valley.
Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Let's save the Apple stuff for the end again.
Let's save the Apple stuff for the end.
Although, I mean, I spoke about a few Apple products amongst my failures there.
Well, you talked about your camera. You didn't mention it by brand and other stuff.
It's a Canon.
You wound up with a Canon. Usually you've been a Nikon boy.
Okay. It's a Canon SX50HS.
What the hell's it? Well, anyway, I don't know that model. Anyway.
It's not a DSLR. It's a single body. It's in the class they call super zooms. So it's got a 50 times zoom lens on it.
50 times. Jeez.
So it goes from wide. It goes from wide angle to 50 times, and that's like if you were going to do that on a DSLR, you would be spending tens of thousands of dollars on huge lenses, huge telephoto lenses, or whatever.
I have a similar camera.
It's nice. I like the zoom. I like the in it. Anyway, it was nice. It is a nice camera. Once I get the stupid
thing. Well, I guess you know if you lived in an apartment and you could see the naked girls across the street, probably would work better anyway.
You know,
no, that's not what you're using it for. Anyway,
I took pictures of Jupiter and Saturn.
What about Uranus?
I haven't tried that yet.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, head transplant, Senate. Or head transplants or Senate? What do you want?
Let's go with the Senate. We haven't talked about the election, and I was actually looking at some of the stuff this week, actually.
Yeah.
You know, regarding some of the races. But I mean, it's like, it has been, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I was reading
you're
is
wrong.
That. Okay. I'm totally wrong.
I don't know what you were going to say, but you're wrong.
But I'm wrong.
You're okay. Always wrong.
Well, that's so good. Well, anyway, yeah, I'm always wrong. Yeah, just like anyway, we'll get into the Apple stuff later. But, you know.
Go ahead. Talk about the Senate.
No, what I was saying is that it seemed like, I mean, if you looked at the polling like recently, especially with how bad the Democrats were looking, I mean, it was looking like pretty likely that they were going to lose the Senate, but that the rate has gotten like in different places has gotten like quite tighter than
actually here's one of the things, and there have been, you know, there are a bunch of competing you know models of what's going on. You've got, of course, got 538. You've got Sam Wang, who I like his stuff a lot. You've got the New York Times has a model, the Washington Post has a model, and they've come out with different odds on who's going to win. But here's one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah,
like the most aggressive of these, the most aggressive one, said that there's a 70% chance of one side or the other winning. If somebody's got a 70% chance of winning, that means the other side has 30% chance. That's still a very tight race. Still a, it could go either way.
I totally agree.
There's nobody there at all saying that, you know, hey, we're calling it now. The Republicans are winning, or we're calling it now.
I totally agree. Yeah, I don't think anybody said that.
One of the things is, like, people get all worked up. Like, you know, Nate Silver at one point was like, you know, 60% chance of the Republicans taking the Senate or whatever. And it's like, everybody's like, oh my God, oh my God. He says there's 60-40 is pretty damn close to even odds. I mean, yes, there's a slight advantage on one side, but it's still pretty damn, yeah, it's a toss up. 60-40 is still a toss up.
Oh no, yeah. I totally agree.
All I'm saying is when that kind of forecast came out, people started reacting to it as if he'd said it was a 95% chance. You know, but it's not. I mean, it's very much a toss up. That you've got all of these different models that use slightly different assumptions and process the polls differently and do or do not weight fundamentals into the equation as well. And basically they run the gambit from, you know, the Democrats having a 70% chance of retaining the thing to the Republicans having a 70% chance. You know, it's still wide open.
Not the point I was trying to make.
I know. We'll get to that in a second. I'm sorry. I went on a tangent, but I just got, a lot of people have been reacting that way. I'm not saying you, but it's been one of the things that's been getting to me. One of the interesting things that I saw in some of these, though, I forget which one of them estimated, but that independent in Iowa, you know, the Democrat dropped out in Iowa.
Yeah.
That was Iowa, right? Am I remembering right? Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I should look that up. Anyway, apparently, according to at least one of these models, there's a 10% chance that the control of the Senate will be up to that guy.
Seriously? And who he
decides to caucus with. Because he has said... That independent that I'm thinking of, whose name I'm not remembering and whose state I'm not sure of, but he has said basically he's going to caucus with whoever has the majority.
Seriously?
What if
it's a tie?
Well, that's the thing. He said he's going to caucus with whoever has the majority, and people have asked him, well, what will you do if it's a tie? And then he says, I will decide that when the time comes. He's not giving any hints of which way he would go in the case of a tie.
That's very annoying.
But
based on his opinions, doesn't anybody have an idea what the hell this guy is really leaning?
I think he's somewhat of a centrist, but he's from a more conservative state. But I mean, he's expressed opinions that could go either way. Which is rare in a candidate, which would be interesting if he won, you know. But what I find interesting that I kept looking for someone to give a definitive answer on this, but I did not see one. So if anybody out there knows this from a procedural point of view, let's say there is a case where his vote is going to make the difference. So I suppose that's the Democrats have to have 49, because if the Democrats have 50, Joe Biden can give them the majority.
Correct. That's the majority, right?
So the Democrats have to have 49, the Republicans have to have 50, and then he becomes the deciding vote, because he can either make it 50-50, in which case Biden brings it to the Democrats, or he can make it 52-48, in which case the Republicans have it. But what happens if he refuses to vote for either one of their candidates for speaker and nobody gets a majority?
And then what the hell happens?
That's my question. I don't know what happens.
I don't know.
I haven't been able to find a source that tells me what I think might happen that sometimes occurs in this is if nobody has a majority, they have to vote again. And I'm wondering whether he could actually influence more than just pick one of them and become Republican or Democrat, but say, I will vote Republican, but only if this guy is the president pro tem of the Senate. I said speaker before. That's the House, obviously. But only if this guy's in charge. Or I will only vote for this party if X, Y, and Z happen. And he basically extract things from them in terms of who's in the leadership or promises about certain things. And that could be very interesting. Now, that's that's only in the scenario that it ends up.
Okay, well, exactly you, well if you you give me the leadership to, I don't know, whatever committee or something.
Exactly.
Or
some he could do that kind of thing. He could you know, say, I know I'm a freshman senator, but I get to pick who runs this Senate.
Right.
Give me everything I want. And if you give me everything I want, then I'll vote for your guy.
I hear you.
That would be fun.
It would be interesting, you know. They could be held hostage.
Because most of the times, like the most of the independents that we have, you know, like we have Bernie Sanders, but he caucuses with the Democrats. He's not going to do anything else. You know, he's very, very liberal. He's not going to vote for a Republican. There's no question about it. But if you got this guy who's openly saying, you know, I'm not going to tell you. I could go with the Democrats. I could go with the Republicans. I'll go either way. Whoever's in charge, I want to be in the majority. And, you know, if it's a tie, I'm not going to say. You know, that just makes it very interesting. Anyway, so well, I apologize for going on a big tangent there. Tell me, what was your actual point that you were starting to get into before I went
on? No, the point that I was trying to say was actually that, which you actually made, was that even though, let's face it, it's a tight race is what I'm saying, right. Is, but that it seems to be, look, I think that the Democrats had a lot of momentum against them like earlier in the year. I think that the momentum has been swinging back a little bit towards them for a couple of reasons. The economy has been pretty good. Even like now, Obama, you know, you and I don't agree. You know, I know that I was agreeing with Obama on some of the stuff that he said in his speech regarding going there. I mean, I think that you and I, despite that, are, let's just say, not exactly all enthused about going back into frickin' battle in the Middle East. But he went and he got a damn vote in the frickin' House today that was like pretty substantial support to his policy down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that people see that as a net positive for the Democrats at this point, to be honest with you. You know, I just think that there are certain trends where it's just like right now, you know, it's just been looking a little bit better for the Democrats than it was. Now, the reality is, as we've spoken before, this election historically has been an election where the party for the president usually gets their ass kicked substantially in this election. It historically has been. It's like when, look, the last president, Mr. Bush, that's when he lost. He had, I think he was it that he lost the House. Okay. It was, I think for Clinton, he also lost. I can't remember Senate, House, one of the, but substantial changes happened during this time. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just think that even though it's looking better, I think still there'll be some losses. Whether they will lose the Senate, I don't know yet. But I mean, let's face it. I mean, I think the Republicans have a pretty good chance. I mean, it's not, you know.
So I just wanted to give
it's no slam dunk, but
I just wanted to give my correction to myself. The independent in question is Greg Orman, and that's in Kansas. Not Iowa. It's in
Kansas, not Iowa. Sorry,
not Iowa.
No, we're idiots. We're sorry.
It was in Kansas. And the Democrat dropped out. He's actually suing to get himself off the ballot entirely, and it looks like he's going to win that right now, even though it was past the deadlines.
The Democrat dropped out. Why did the Democrat drop out anyway?
He was losing.
He decided just to drop out.
Well, he was losing, and the third party candidate was getting enough of the vote that a number of people were saying that the chances of the Democrats taking the Senate or keeping the Senate were higher if the Democrat dropped out of this race, because the independent was doing better than the Democrat was in the polls and had said he might caucus as a Democrat.
Okay, gotcha.
So just to let's look at a couple of these models. Of course, as I say that, my stupid computer locks up. Okay, here we go.
Well, that's very opportune. It's the right moment.
Of course it is. That's the way it all works all the time. I've gotten used to the spinning wheel of death. Okay. The Princeton Election Consortium, that's Sam Wang, who I mentioned before. The expectation here, he's got the most likely outcome being a 50-50 split with Joe Biden throwing it to the Democrats. He gives the Democrats a 74% chance of retaining control versus a 26% chance for the Republicans taking it. He's probably the most aggressive on the Democrat side right now. His model is based only on polls, no fundamentals mixed into it at all. Mm. 538, which does a lot with fundamentals as well, currently has a 53.8% chance of the Republicans having the majority, a 46.2% chance of the Democrats having a majority. He thinks the most likely outcome is 52 seats for the Republicans and 48 for the Democrats. Let's see. What does the New York Times think? The New York Times gives the Republicans a 57% chance and the Democrats a 43% chance. They don't have a most likely. Here they go. Likeliest distribution, 52 Republicans, 48 Democrats. Mm. And then the Washington Post, their most likely is 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. And they're not giving percentage odds. Oh, wait. Yeah. Yes, they are. 50.1% chance for the Republicans.
Wow.
Meanwhile, for the House, by the way, the Washington Post says 99%, greater than 99% chance for the Republicans keeping the House.
I would agree with
that. Which I think everybody agrees with. But yes. Yeah, so all of these odds, the best one for the Republicans is the New York Times, who thinks the Republicans have a 57% chance. The worst one for the Republicans is Princeton Election Consortium with a 26% chance of the Republicans taking over. Bottom line, though, even like we were saying at the beginning, even the worst case for the Republicans here is 74-26. You know, the best case is just about 60-40. Both of these are actually, there's a very significant chance of it going either way.
Yep.
Like we sometimes say when hurricanes are coming, you know, if they're saying there's, you know, a 20% chance that the hurricane's going to hit where you are, you treat that seriously. You don't say, whatever, 20%. That means 80% chance we're fine. You know, once you get over 5%, they're issuing warnings and things like that, you know. A 74-26 split is effectively still a toss-up. Yes, it leans in favor one side by the other by, you know, a significant margin, but it's still a non-trivial chance it'll go the other way, you know. And if you sort of look at the, you know, all of these models together, you know, some have the Republicans ahead, some have the Democrats ahead. It averages out to a complete toss up. And that's where we are right now. And like I said, that lovely 10% chance that this one guy in Kansas is actually going to get to decide which way the Senate goes. You know, and another interesting thing that you could do in that scenario, and I'm not, if I was that guy and I was really interested in chaos, I would switch back and forth depending on what issue was up for a vote that week. You know, is whoever's in charge this week blocking an issue I like? Okay, I'll switch back next week. But I would get through, you know, none of this shit of like, we're not even letting it come up for a vote. If I'm that guy, if I want it to come up for a vote, it's coming up for a vote. You know?
No, man.
If I think whoever's in the majority this week is doing something annoying, we switch. We could go back and forth every couple of days for 2 years.
There you go.
For 2 years until the next election. That would be great. Or he could just be intransigent and forget all this demanding everything. What if he just says, no matter what you do, I'm not voting for either of you.
What does that mean? Is he going to abstain?
Or he could vote for himself.
No, there you go. That'll work.
You know, so you don't have any majority happening, and the Senate would have to figure out how to operate without a majority. Or, you know, the Democrats and Republicans could actually come up with, like, you know, nominate a compromise candidate who promises to be nonpartisan in running the Senate. I'm dreaming now, of course. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you do get all these kinds of interesting scenarios when you've got that one independent in the deciding position. It just would be lots of fun. There are only a handful of these races that are actually like close. Like in all of these models, they differ slightly on exactly which states are close, but basically it looks like we're talking Alaska, Iowa, Kansas, as the ones that are, you know, really close states. Maybe Louisiana. It looks like one of them thinks, but anyway, you know, so it's close. The only really close ones are Kansas, Iowa, Alaska. Those are the ones that are look like they're still really toss ups. There could be surprises in some of the others, but they're less likely. And of course, we've still got, 40 days till the election, something like that. So, you know, things can, 48 days till the election. So lots of things can still change in 48 days. You know, these candidates, a lot of these candidates have amazing ability to shoot themselves in the foot. So you never know when that could happen.
No, and yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, especially with the margin where it's at, I mean, there's so much that can happen between now and then. I mean, these elections are far more volatile, yes. I will say, than, say, a presidential election, okay? Substantially much so. So,
yeah, although even a presidential election, if we had a presidential election that was actually pretty close 48 days out, you know, a lot can happen in those 48 days.
Agree. I mean, McCain going and suspending the campaign, for example.
I was just going to say, 48 days out from 2008, it was really a toss-up, and McCain was slightly ahead. And then, you know, everything happened to him.
He decided to suspend the campaign to solve the economic crisis.
And pick Sarah Palin.
Pick Sarah Palin. That's true.
Now, would she still have been in the bar fight if she was vice president right now?
Bar fight? What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm not going to get into this here, but if you haven't already, Google Sarah Palin bar fight.
I missed that shit.
There was a whole ruckus. Her whole family was involved. There was a party. There was alcohol. There was Sarah Palin yelling, "Don't you know who I am?" You know, all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Now, I will say that probably they would have gotten into the fight anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about other stuff. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back. Okay, Vaughn, let's see. What do we have left? We're saving
the head transplant.
Head transplants next. Okay. So, look, the details of the article don't matter because it was one of these sort of semi-sensationalistic, this is coming really soon, where in fact, it's not going to come really, really soon. But it was basically talking about the technology to do head transplants, which basically, I mean, the other way to look at it, of course, is a body transplant because your brain is in your head. And that's kind of what makes you you. Basically the idea, they've been working on this in animals for a long time. And for decades now, they've been able to do successful head transplants on dogs and more recently monkeys, with successful in quotes, meaning they've been able to use the new body as a life support system for the head, but not connect all the nerves and stuff. So essentially it's you know, you're transplanted on onto the new body.
You're like a quadriplegic. Basically.
You're paralyzed from the neck down. Right.
Well, that's not really good.
Well, although you could think, like, if the alternative was death.
Well, no, I hear you. I mean, I got you. Yeah.
Apparently they're talking about, they believe they might have the technology at this point. At least let me caveat that. One group of researchers thinks they might have the technology at this point to actually reconnect the spinal cord as well, to get some, maybe not full functionality, but more functionality out of that body. And they believe this is something which would be, you know, technologically feasible within the next 5 to 10 years. Let's say. I think they even said shorter than that. But
I believe that. But I've seen, look at some of the advances that we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like recently. I mean, you know, they have been able to get your electronic impulses in order for you to be able to control physical things.
Yep.
Limbs, stuff, and whatever. I mean, I keep thinking crazy, but why not that crazy? When the hell are they going to be able to suck everything out of your brain electrically if that's the case?
Yep. Well, I mean, and there's a whole other conversation about that kind of thing, about being able to upload yourself to a computer and things like that. Let's not go there right now. But the head transplant thing brings up a number of, you know, interesting cases because, you know, I mentioned this to a few people. Over dinner a few days ago, and you know, people are creeped out about the body transplant in a way that they're not necessarily creeped out anymore about, say, a kidney transplant.
Yeah,
because it's a lot more, and it's the external stuff, and it's, you know, it's like, but fundamentally, it's the same kind of thing. It's like if you are in the kind of accident where, let's say, you are a quadriplegic. And then somebody else dies in an accident in such a way that they're brain dead, but the rest of their body is just fine. Why not?
I know. It's just kind of weird.
Now, one argument has been given there that is somewhat compelling. That if you do that, you're saving one person, whereas those organs could potentially save, you know, half a dozen different people.
I agreed. I know.
There are a lot of interesting ethical issues there too, you know, in terms of, you know, how this works and, you know, but to me, it seems like all of the issues are essentially the same issues you have with any organ transplant.
Yeah.
And it's just people being creeped out that makes it seem different. But in essence, it's just getting a whole bunch of organ transplants at the same time.
Basically.
You know, so I don't know. This is one of several things where I think the technology is going to advance rapidly. It'll be a lot harder to make the jump in terms of people being comfortable with it from, just from a being creeped out point of view. You're going to have a lot of ethics concerns. You're going to have legal blockages where they don't want people experimenting on it. I mean, it's the same kind of thing applies to cloning. Because people have all of these concerns, but at the same time, the technology is rushing ahead of it. And of course, you know, when I was discussing this over a dinner at a restaurant loudly, I also started talking about, well, you know, You can solve the issue of, you know, the six person versus one, and you can solve the issue of, you know, the shortage of organs and all this kind of stuff just by, you know, growing people with no brains to start with for the purpose of these transplants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and if you make sure that there's no brain there from the very earliest part of development, then what's the issue there?
Yeah, I know. It's still the reason why it's actually not creepy it's not a creepiness standpoint. To me, it goes more to from a philosophical standpoint.
Uh-huh.
Of like, I mean, remember that we've got all these questions about life we don't know how to answers to, like, where were we created, stuff, whatever. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, one of the things that happens with a life is like the certainty of death. I mean, what are we eliminating that?
Well, presumably your brain would still wear out at some point. Now, if you did the uploading to the computer thing, that's another issue. But like,
or what is going to stop it from like maybe not a computer, but some kind of like a other created brain where you can like transfer everything to?
Maybe. I mean, the body plant transplant wouldn't give you that. The brain would probably still run out. But I'm fairly certain that at some point, and I don't think this is particularly close, I don't expect it in my lifetime, like some people who are expecting the singularity do. But at some point, we'll have the technology to essentially duplicate a living brain.
Yeah. That starts really getting... That's just getting weird, I guess.
Well, because you can think of things like, well, okay, if you can upload yourself into the new receptacle, fine. But more likely, you wouldn't be uploading yourself. You'd be making a copy.
Right.
And then there are two of you.
Right.
Now, there have been many science fiction novels written about this kind of stuff.
Yes, I know.
But it's a lot of fun.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, just starting with the Star Trek transporter, I mean, people point out that, you know, really you are making the copy. What's happening is you're making the copy and then you're destroying the original. But what happens if you don't destroy the original?
Right.
And even if you are destroying the original, how does the original feel about that? And is it really you?
Right.
Or did the original die in the transporter and now there's this new thing running around?
Right.
Very, you know, fun issues that are explored in a variety of different ways, and but I was just thinking
we won't have any answers to it today.
Well, no, and I don't necessarily think there is a right answer. You just figure out how to live with it.
And this
is the thing too. Like, you know, when organ transplants were first being developed, people were extremely creeped out about them.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, yeah. they were like. Protests about this being unnatural and this and that, and this is horrible. And of course, there's still some people that feel like that, but it's a minority opinion at this point. At this point, people have, you know, expectation that, you know, hey, organ transplants are part of what is medically available in certain situations. And okay, that's just what happens. And that, you know, if somebody, you know, dies catastrophically in an accident, you know, it's a good thing to harvest their organs and use it to save other people. It's better than sort of wasting it entirely, you know. And of course, opinions do vary on that. And, you know, there's some people worry about, well, if they think you're going to harvest your organs, they're not going to try as hard to save you and things like that. But for the most part, people have now accepted organ transplants as a normal part of, you know, what's available medically. And I think as you develop these other things, as you develop, whether it's the head transplant or human cloning or, you know, or anything else, I think that's, it's only a matter of time until those things are just as accepted. And, you know, even other things that people talk about, you know, related to the human cloning, being able to, like, you know, pick and choose your designer baby by, I want these five qualities in my baby. You know, of course it's going to happen eventually. You know, it's just a matter of time. And yes, people will be freaked out about it and worry about the ethical things around it. And there are some legitimate things to perhaps worry about and think about how the consequences would play out. But eventually it's going to happen. The technology is out there. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
People can already, to some degree, do sex selection. So it's only a matter of time till they can say, you know, I want them to have a nose like this. I want them to have this kind of hair. I want them to have an IQ that's like this. You know, I want them to be able to run fast, whatever. And, you know, you pick out your options on a menu and hit the button, and, you know, you'll probably grow your baby in a vat so nobody has to carry it around for 9 months, and then you pick it up at the store when it's ready.
God. All right. Well, anyway, enough of this subject. All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Yes.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Apple stuff.
Apple stuff. You two, and follow up on the watch. Okay, we'll be back after this.
Celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay. Let's do the watch update first, and then do the YouTube, because I think the watch update's relatively quick. You just want to say told you so.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't know who the hell was that idiot saying that you could build a fucking solid gold watch for $1,200 and you would it on Twitter. I'm like, where did this guy get his pricing from?
So for those of you not following Yvonne and I on Twitter, or not paying close attention to everything we post ever, on last week's show, Yvonne basically said that, you know, he thought $15,000 minimum for the solid gold iWatch or Apple Watch. And then somebody came out, I forget which tech publication, say they talked to people close to the sourcing, blah, blah, blah. And they believed with Apple's particular methods of doing it, the gold Apple Watch would probably be around $1,500. And then Jonathan Gruber earlier today posted an analysis where he estimated for the low-end gold version around the order of $5,000 or $6,000, and probably going much higher. And part of his arguments were, you know, look, yeah, Apple's not competing on price on the high-end watches. You know, that's not their goal here. Look at the other people in the high-end watch space, and you can't find, you know, $1,500 gold watches. And
no, not even $5,000 or $10,000. Right. They're usually at the. I mean, I think that at the low. I mean, the lowest you'll find is like $15,000, maybe.
And so, I mean, Gruber's point in all of this is that Apple is looking to compete on the watch across the entire spectrum of over $100 watches, you know, or over $300 watches, and that they're going to come in at the low end of that market. But at the high end, yeah, they're going to be priced comparable with, you know, luxury good items that, I mean, the way he put it in his article was, you know, prices that are going to have the tech press absolutely apoplectic because they can't understand why you would possibly sell. Because
it's not being sold as a tech item. And that's exactly. That's why the tech press always keeps not understanding what Apple's doing. I mean, they're selling it as a luxury item. Okay.
As opposed to here's the specs, here's the processor, here's the battery life, here's, you know, here's how much memory it has, and therefore, you know, you add up the parts and it should cost $200, you know. And I think this is spot on. Apple's not in that game. Apple's about selling the experience, they're about selling the brand, and as they're moving into this is their, you know, they've already been to some degree selling a brand, but if they're moving into this luxury space, yes, they are absolutely positively marketing to people who absolutely know that there's no functional difference between the $350 watch and this one they're about to put down $15,000 for. The right. Only difference is it's made out of gold.
Right.
That's it.
Listen, you know, my thing is like with the guy saying, oh, solid gold watch, $1,500. Dude, freaking, listen, an ounce of gold is $1,500. without you doing anything to it, for God's sakes. Okay, all right? That fucking watch has more than a fucking ounce of gold. I mean, you can't build it with just an ounce of gold. So...
Well, unless, like you said, unless it wasn't solid, and
no, but I looked at the back of the case, and I was like, typically they are going by it on the watch by like what the standards of like really watchmaking do, and I read the case back, and it said, I mean, it read solid gold, and what's his name confirmed it that he asked Apple, and they said, yeah, it's a solid gold watch. It's not, you know, it's.
And this is, you know, and I mean, honestly, for myself, put me in the camp of if it's the same functionality and it's just a different color, yeah, I would never dream of paying more for it. Like, I'm like, you know, I'll get the cheap one, thank you. I will pay more money for more functionality or more memory or whatever, but I'm not going to pay more money for it being made out of a different material. Unless that bought me some definitive benefit, like if the material was more scratch resistant, let's say, or tougher, you know, which gold is not, by the way.
No.
But if anything, it's softer and more.
It is softer. Now, the one thing is, I will tell you about the scratching. Okay. All right. It's a lot. It actually scratches less in my experience. Okay. And it's easier to buff out any scratches right. That are there. The scratches on regular metal are kind of like permanent. I mean, you could get a whole bunch of them out, but it's a lot difficult to keep like looking like original. On the gold, it actually scratches less and it's much easier to keep looking. In any case.
Is
what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to buy based on functionality. I'm not going to buy based on fashion or color or material.
Yeah, unless that
brings some benefit. However, that's not the market that Apple is after on the high end of these watches. They want people like me on the low end of these watches.
Right.
On the high end of these watches, they want people who are buying these as status items. They want people who are buying them as fashion. They want people who have more money than they know what to do with.
When they launched the iPhone in gold, I think somebody is saying that some people in Apple are nicknaming it the Kardashian watch, the Kardashian phone,
uh-huh.
You know, for Kim Kardashian, because they were like, yeah, it's gold, it's glitzy, that's what they're looking for. And that's what they're looking for that damn watch. They're looking for the Kim Kardashian wannabes of the world, or probably even her too, fucking have one of those damn watches in gold strapped around her arm, and Apple will be thrilled to pieces to sell her one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the speculations that was also in Gruber's article we touched on last time as well, which is, and a number of people have been speculating on this, is the fact that the electronics have, you know, the 3 to 4 year life cycle, whereas the high end luxury items that you're talking about, people generally expect, hey, they're going to keep this for a lifetime and hand it down to their kids and grandkids.
I got some that are 30, 40 years old.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, people were pointing out, you know, in the Rolex example, you know, 100-year-old Rolex is still a good Rolex.
In fact, it's arguably better
than the new ones.
Yeah. Is 44 years old.
Right.
Okay. I have one that my mom has. It's 50 years old.
Right.
You know, they last forever.
So, you know, there were people speculating on, you know, well, what percentage of the cost is really the band? And is there potentially a mechanism that could be that they could be developing where you can, you know, sort of swap out the internal electronic guts while keeping the outsides, so that every few years, instead of getting a brand new watch, you just swap out the $300 center, you know, something like that. Or the alternative is, say, you know, If it's a big status item to have, you know, a $15,000 item that you keep for generations, isn't it even more of a big status item to be able to say, here's a $15,000 item that I'm going to throw away in four years?
I will say that I'm sure that there are certain people who that would be for them. Yes. I mean, let's face it. Look, you've got people to buy $200,000 or $300,000 Bentleys, for God's sakes. They depreciate like a rock. Okay, all right, those things in 10 years are literally worthless. So, yeah, sure, why not? You know, I'm sure that somebody will pay something, $15,000, for the status of wearing something that in 5 years is worth very little to nothing, okay, other than the value of the scrap metal.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, as you said, the scrap metal itself is probably worth a decent chunk of change.
It's worth at least $5,000 or $6,000 right, after it's all said and done, at least.
And that's something else that people speculated on is Apple having, you know, a lucrative trade-in program where they'll buy back the watch from you after X number of years for, you know, a good price on the materials and components. Okay, just a minute. Alex is telling me it's dinner time.
Yeah, well, he's right.
But so anyway, enough about the watch. Just real quick on YouTube. So Apple had this free giveaway. They presented it along with the watch and the iPhones. Okay.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I had to go and force it to download so I would get it.
So here's the thing. They put it on everybody's library.
It wasn't in mine.
It was in mine. I was in everybody else's.
It
wasn't in
mine. I kept trying to find it. It wasn't.
Okay. Well, you are the minority exception.
I know.
It was in everybody's library. And the thing was, it would actually download it if you tried to play any of the songs. But it was in your library. It was in your purchase history. Basically, they made everybody purchase the item. They automatically purchased the item for free.
Right.
So it was in your purchase history. It was in your library. It was in your everything. And so a lot of people are really upset because, you know, they care a lot about what's in their library, how it's organized, how everything is put in place. And basically, you know, they're basically two sides of the debate. One is, oh, you big fucking crybabies. Somebody gave you a free album you don't like.
I know.
You know,
I know.
There's nothing on you. It's free. You don't like the music? Don't listen to it.
Yeah. You don't have to have it in your playlist. You don't have to play it. You don't have to select the artist.
You can remove it.
You can remove it. Yeah.
Now, until Apple did something yesterday, you couldn't remove it from your purchase history, however. So it would always be that record of it, and you'd always have the ability to re-download it. Apple, because of all this controversy, actually set up a method where you can remove it completely from your system. Including the purchase history. So the one side, like I said, is you crybabies, you're complaining because somebody gave you something free. Wah, wah, wah. The other side is basically Apple violated trust because they reached into my phone. They reached into my phone and shoved something onto it without asking me first.
Really? You don't get emails shoved into your fucking inbox all the time with shit you're not looking for, and you don't get mail, and you don't get mail in your house that you're not expecting. Oh, come on. You know, fucking AOL used to send all those fucking discs, for God's sakes, to your fucking house, for God's sakes. Send stacks of tax on them. What would you do with them? You throw them away. I mean, give me a break.
So, and I will admit, I actually kind of feel this way, like, because, you know, it to me, it's the same kind of thing as, you know, forcing the downloads of new apps and things like that. And like, you know, okay, I'm going to do a system upgrade to iOS 8, which we haven't talked about sometime in the next week. It was released in the last 24 hours. And it will include new apps, but it's going to bring up a screen that says an update is available. Do you want it? And I'm going to push a button to initiate it. And what Apple could have done here is just promoted the hell out of the album and made it free on the iTunes store. And
for you to go grab it and download it instead of putting it in your, I will agree. I mean, that would have been okay, but I at the same time, I really think that there's a lot of fucking crying over nothing.
I can see both sides of this. I admit I am on the side of I wish they had not done this. I was actually going to avoid the download because it's only for 30 days and then it would be gone. And so if I hadn't played any of the songs in the 30 days or whatever, then it never would have happened. But what happened is I put my library on shuffle and one of them came up. And so now I have it. Yeah. So,
and you had never at, I mean, really, you had never bought a U2 song ever?
No, I think I have a couple U2 songs prior to this album. Now, with this album in place, there were more songs in this album than I had from U2 ever. You know, I had like one or two hits. That's all in my library. But would I have chosen to download this, even if it was free? Probably not. I would probably not have chosen to download it. But now that I've got it, I've got it. And, you know, I'm not going to delete it. I'll keep it. But I would have been a lot happier with Apple if they'd made this a free offer, but I still had to actively do something to get this.
Well, I wound up having to actively do it to get it. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I know. You mentioned that before.
I guess I was the only freaking guy who I had to go, and I actually had to go online because it wouldn't show up, and find somebody that posted some instructions. Oh, it's not downloading for you? Here, go here to be able to go get it, because it just would not.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wound up at the other opposite camp. I had to wind up fucking forcing it to download because I wanted it. So there you go.
And then, of course, there are all kinds. There's a Tumblr set up for, I think it's like whoisu2.com or something, of all the people tweeting, like, what the hell is U2 and why is it on my phone? Who are these U2 people? You know, all kinds of comments like that from Twitter. Let me make sure. Who is U2.com? I think that's what it is. Let me make sure.
Let's see how many U2 albums I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There we go. Yeah, I was right. Who is U2.com? And it's just a Tumblr of screenshots of all kinds of people on Twitter going, what the hell is this? Like, I know for a fact that I didn't download this U2 album, so why is it in my playlist? Who is U2 anyway? Who the heck is U2? Who the fuck or what the fuck is U2?
Okay, I guess.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess I thought there were more people would know who the hell U2 is.
Who the fuck is U2 and why are they in my music? I thought that was a joke. I'm officially creeped out and done with iPhones.
God. Okay.
Cool. Exactly. Well, because apparently part of this, I mean, we joke about, like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's free. What's your problem? But there were a lot of people who saw this, and their immediate reaction is, oh my God, my phone is hacked.
Somebody went, like, hijacked my fucking Apple account.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I could see how that could have. I could see how that could have happened. Yep.
So all in all, like, not smoothly done by Apple. In this case.
Oh, well, I, yeah.
You're like a bunch of crybabies.
I mean, I was actually happy I got the album for free. So anyway, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
And I like you too. We should say.
Thank you for joining us. As you heard like 10 minutes ago, I was called to dinner, so I better get down there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. For questions, comments, thoughts, tell your friends to listen to us. Follow us on social media. I'm at abelsmay on Twitter. Yvonne is at iambo. We love to hear from you that way, too. And, of course, both of us tweet lots and lots of links to things we think are interesting all week long. Me more than Yvonne, but I noticed Yvonne's doing it more and more, so.
Yes. Yes, I'm getting more the hang of it, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.